I greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this time of the day, always an honor for me and a privilege to share the Word of God to us. I would like to invite you to turn together with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's in the life of David. As I read through it, I just want to share with you as well. And I trust that God will make us alive unto His Word. And I trust that you also go, if you have a chance, go through it. You know, the other day I read in Judges, the whole book, one night. And about twice it came forth that the Bible say, in the days of Israel, when Israel didn't have a king, everybody was doing what he sees right in his own eyes. And it actually shocked a person to see that God has raised judges. And one of them was Deborah, all depends how you pronounce it, a lady. And how she, God used her to govern Israel, to bring her back to God. I trust that we have 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let us just pray once more. Heavenly Father, we stand before and sit before your word in this hour of the day. And we thank you, Lord, for grace and so much that can we just thank you and praise you. If we start praising you, Lord, for and thank you for what you've done to us and what you do to us just for this day, we will stand for very long. And I pray that as we read a few verses in this word of yours, Lord, that you make us alive unto it. Lord, if you do not change us, and if we do not allow you to change us, we're going to stay the same. I pray that you will help us that our minds and our thoughts will not wandering. Help us that it not be any place else or anywhere else except here. Help us to let it be here and speak to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a few verses in 1 Samuel chapter 17, as from verse 23. And as you know the story, once again, Jesse asked him to go and took to his brothers the food. And as he came there, he heard this commotion in the battle in the front line. Verse 23, as he was taking with them, Goliath the Philistine, champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual deviance. And David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all run from him and from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, do you see how this man keep coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Just those few verses. The theme of my message is to defy the living God. And as I start preparing, I ask a lot of questions for myself, and is that as David walk up there, he hear this commotion in the front lines, he hear this shout of this big man called Goliath, he hear him say it, Israel already heard it so many times, and he heard it for the first time. And I ask the question, is it possible to defy God? And I think so. Yes, it is. And I think there are many who defy God and tries to fight Him. I think there are many who also mock God, even until today. And I ask myself, but if he says he's defying God, what does the word defy means? Because defying and to mock and to dare is synonyms of each other. And I go to the dictionary and Merriam-Webster gives me some definitions of the word defy. And before I give the definitions, I want to ask you that question like I ask myself. Am I in my life define God? And I think if I ask you directly, do you defy God? Did you ever in your life defy God? You will say no. But don't say so fast, no. Don't say so quickly, not me. Did you ever mock God? No, don't say it so fast. Because I want to give you the definitions what the Merriam-Webster dictionary say. And I want you to listen to those words, those meanings, and ask yourself, when you hear these meanings, maybe some verses will come to your mind. And maybe there will come some flashbacks in, you know, from way behind, way back, and say, you know, I did. Maybe not directly that I stand up like this man called Goliath and defy God. Maybe indirectly. But listen to the words, the meaning of the word defy. To resist. Is there a verse that comes to your mind? To resist. To refuse to obey. To be disobedient. Tough words. What does it mean to dare someone? You know, this afternoon, as a joke, we came from the clinic and we didn't really eat this afternoon. And I just eat enough so that I don't go in a shake commotion with my body, with my blood sugar that is low. And we came back and the first thing that I'm really less for is a little cup of caffeine, you know, coffee. And so we didn't have enough chance to do it at home, so we go to the radio because we do some work there. And I can't remember what was the whole thing. And she said, you know, if I continue the way I continue, she's going to take my sugar out of my coffee. I said, I dare you. I want to see this. What does it mean to say, I dare you? Many times you are in a fight, you know, you want to fight, you are not... I think both of you are scared, but you say to the other one, I dare you, cross the line. And you take your foot and you, I dare you, come. If you cross that line, I want to punch you. And he say the same. And both of you are so scared of each other, no one wants to cross the line. Because you are, you know, you both dare each other. And to dare each other means not to be afraid, or two, listen to this one. To hazard a conflict by manifesting a contempt of opposition. It means the same as to defy. Defy, say another definition, to challenge someone else's authority and power. That one is tough. To challenge someone else's authority and power. I can add to that, and ability. If I defy you, it means I challenge your authority. If I defy the authority in the mission, it means I challenge their authority. I challenge their power. I challenge their rulership. And if the definitions say that defy means to resist or to refuse to obey authority, it means this is what I'm busy doing with the authority in the mission. If you give me some chores to do and I don't want to, it means I defy you. I challenge you. I will not. I resist you. And I ask the question, did you ever defy God? Now you have second thoughts. After you listen to the definition of what is defy. And it is easy to turn to the unbelievers and know that they, because like Goliath, he's uncircumcised, he's a pagan. You don't know God, and we will come there. It is easy to go there and say, oh, you know, they can defy God because they know nothing about him. But what about you and me who say we are children of God? To be disobedient unto God, I refuse to submit. I refuse to obey. It means I challenge him. Not in that words, just in my actions. By not obeying him, I challenge him. I want you to think about this one. Because I want you to have a rethink, a second thought. When God gives us his word and he ask us, I want you to obey. When God gives through someone the authority, comes to our lives, speak into our lives and say, this is the chores that you have to do today. And you give him lip. To dare is also, or to mock. What is mock? Oh, I skipped that one. Mock means to make fun of someone with contempt or to ridicule. It means also to pull up your nose for him. That's why the Bible says in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Did you ever mock God? The same as I can ask the question, did you ever defy him? Did you ever dare him? It's easy to say no. But after I listened to the explanations of what the Webster Dictionary say about these words, I have second thoughts. Every time when I don't obey, every time when I don't submit, every time I resist, I busy defying God. And that's serious. That is very serious. That is what it means. And because I asked this myself, what is wrong with this picture? What is wrong? Here is Israel. Man, it is men. They are warriors, they are fighters, they are soldiers, they are skilled, they have experience in fighting. What's wrong with this picture? How can they allow such a man defy God in their midst? Didn't they know who they are? It looks like there's only one man, and at that point in time, a teenager, who know what's going on here. King Saul is supposed to know. Well, God already left him. I think David's brothers are supposed to know. They all have the shakes because the fear, the Bible say they all run away and fear grips their hearts. Because there's one man. It's not all the Philistines, just one man. And maybe he speak to all of them, defying God. I want to read to you, if you allow me, about men and women who defy God in history. And I would like to read it. I didn't write it down. It's just too much. I want to read it to you. And I want you to listen to these men and women. And maybe some of them you know, some of them is totally foreign to me. You know John Lennon. Some years, let me read it as it is here when I find it on the internet. Some years before, during his interview with an American magazine, he said, Christianity will end. It will disappear. I do not have to argue about that. I am certain Jesus was okay, but his subjects were too simple. Today, we are more famous than him. That was in 1966. That is what he said. We are more famous than Jesus. Lennon, after saying that the Beatles were more famous than Jesus Christ, they shot him 6 times dead. Another man, the president of Brazil, Tancredo Neves, I don't even know how you pronounce that name. During the presidential campaign, he said if he got 500,000 votes from his party, not even God would remove him from presidency. Sure, he got the votes, 500,000, but he got sick a day before being made president, and he died. What did he do? Defying God. Another man, Gazuza, I hope I pronounced that right, a bisexual Brazilian composer, singer, and poet, written about him, during a show in Rio de Janeiro, while smoking his cigarette, he puffed out some smoke in the air and said, God, this is for you. He died at the age of 32, and lung cancer in a horrible manner. Another man who built the Titanic, and you know the story. After the construction of the Titanic, a reporter asked him how safe the Titanic would be. And with an ironic tone, he said, not even God can sink it. And the result? Yeah, that's history. Another lady, we all know, maybe not know her personally, but she's very famous, Marilyn Monroe. She's an actress. She was visited by Billy Graham during a presentation of a show. Listen to this. Billy Graham said, the Spirit of God has sent me to preach to you. After hearing what the preacher had to say, she said, I don't need your Jesus. A week later, she was found dead in her apartment. What did she do? Defy God. Another man, Bon Scott, he was apparently a singer. The ex-vocalist of AC/DC, my our generation. One of his 1979 songs he sang, "Don't Stop Me, I'm Going Down All the Way Down the Highway to Hell." On the 19th of February 1980, Bon Scott was found dead. He had been choked in his own vomit. That's it's not even a year later after he defined God. Another man, I'm nearly finished. I don't even know this person, Christine Hewitt. She's a Jamaican journalist and entertainer, said the Bible, it's the Word of God, was the worst book ever written. In June 2006, she was found burned beyond recognition in a motor vehicle. And then this man said, many more important people have forgotten that there is no other name that was given so much authority as the name of Jesus. And I asked the question, is it possible to defy God? That you defy God ever in your life? It's easy to say no. Now, after you listen to all these explanations, what Webster say, what defy, to mock, and to dare means, there are second thoughts. If you think of your past life, that I resist God, I refuse to obey, I will not submit, it means you dare, you challenge his authority, like Goliath, right there. And this is terrible. This is terrible because Psalm 50 verse 21 came into play here, because it say these words, "These things you have done, and I kept silent." Do you think that God will zip his mouth and that he is afraid of what has been said about him? He said, "You thought that I was just like you." And I think we live in that time where we became gods, and he, the God, the creator, became the creature. And we tell him what he must do, and he must jump. When we say jump, he must not even ask how high must he jump. He must just jump and not stop, because I never command him to stop. And he said, you thought that I, God, the living God, is just like you. That you can say whatever you like against me, you defy me, you mock me, you dare me, you challenge my authority, and you think I'm going to say nothing about that? And you think I'm going to do nothing about it? If you look at these, it's just a few of them. There's a whole list on that computer that you can go on the internet. But this is enough for me to say, you defy God, you're going to pay the price. You see, you think I was just like you. I will reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes. In other words, God will bring me to book. They did it when Jesus was on earth as well, from Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27, from verse 27 to 31. Listen to verse 31. After they had mocked him, they took off the rope and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify. What did we say is the word mock? Synonym with defy. Synonym with the word to dare. To mock is to make fun of. To ridicule. With contempt. How they beat him, how they slap him, blindfold him, slap him, and say, "Now prophesy, who slapped you?" They challenged him. Little did they know that they are just winked. And he could, on that cross, 10,000 men, legions of angels, just like that, and they are all just vanished like vapor in front of him. That is what I think the Peter and the sons of thunder come and say, "Lord, can we pray down fire on them?" And Jesus said, "You don't even know what kind of material you have been made. Man, you are nothing." My paraphrasing of it. You are nothing. Challenging the all-powerful, almighty God. And this is what Goliath has done. This is what my introduction. I want to go to the second point. Because listen again what this man say, what David say about Goliath, standing in the midst of God's people. They forgot actually they were God's people. And I will show you that. What did he say? David say, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God?" Twofold. Two things that he say there. The first thing is this. Look at the character of the Philistine, Goliath. He's a Philistine. He's an enemy of God. Uncircumcised doesn't mean that he is not part of the covenant of God. Those who are part of the covenant of God is being circumcised. They belong to the community of faith. God has a covenant with them, and they with him. He not. He's a Philistine. He's a pagan. He's an alien. And sometimes it looks like that some of the children of God behave just like Goliath. And David's brothers and the rest of the army maybe look at him like this. Because all of that men have the mark on them. The mark of the covenant. All of them have it. He is an uncircumcised Philistine. Guys, he's not part of the faith community. God didn't make a covenant with them. He made a covenant with us. That is the only teenage boy who saw it. Who understand that this is, by the second point, we will come there and say, he defined someone in our midst, not just us, greater than us. Huh? What are you talking about? King Saul was in another planet. He's supposed to know. Yeah, supposed to. That's why God left him. Because he don't listen to God. And if he was twice disobedient, defying God, he lost his life. Tried to kill himself, and he didn't make a good job of that. Fall into his own spear. Suicide. Not successful. Someone else have to come and kill him. Why? Defying God. Resist him. Resist his authority. Because if I do not obey God, it means I resist his authority. I want you to think of that. He's serious. You cannot play with him. And I know Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. Yes, he is. But don't mock him. Don't continue. Don't continue. And I will come there. Don't continue. In what you do, knowing it's wrong. Knowing that. Ephesians 2, verse 11 to 12 say, talking about this uncircumcised Philistine. And Paul wants to tell the children of God about their former life. About that. And it's good to look a little bit backwards and say, Lord, that was my life. Here I am here. I am a new creation. I was there. I am it no more. I am now here. Have Christ with me. I am in a covenant relationship with God. And Paul come and he say to them, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised. It means before you come to Christ, you are uncircumcised. You are not part of, and I will continue, of God's faith communion. You are not his own. You do not belong to him. And he say here, we are uncircumcised. It means just like that Philistine. Between him and us, there's nothing. What can I say? We are the same. The same. He's just taller than us, that's all. But we are exactly in the same boat, uncircumcised. We do not know anything about God. We think we know. And how many live out there defining him? And I think by his grace, he... You know, the Bible say he laugh at the wicked. He laugh at them. Yeah. He say, this is what you were. By those who called themselves the circumcised. He say, remember that who you were Gentiles by birth and called circumcised by those who called themselves the circumcised. In other words, there was another part. There's another group of people who were circumcised. It means they was uncircumcised. Now they are circumcised. They belong now to the community, the faith community of God. Because that is the mark that you wear in the body made by the hands of men. Then verse 12, remember, again, remember. And I think many times we forget where we come from. We forgot that we was once down there in the sewage dumps of this world. And we forgot that how it tastes and how it feels and how we suffer and all the agony and all the cry and the heartaches and everything worth it. We forgot that. And it is good that God has bring us to remembrance from time to time. To take stock, what are you doing? He say here, remember that at that time, way back when you were still uncircumcised, You were separated from Christ. Listen, it is not merely separated from, but alienated from. It's totally cut off. There's a chasm between Christ and you. You can even call him Father. He's not your Father. Because you have never been born out of him. And I can say it again, as many of you know, that what we many times say in the discipleship course, or in that evangelism course, how can I call God Father if I'm not being born out of him? And maybe because from childhood we've been trained that he is God and this and that. And we might even pray that our Father which art in heaven. And as beautiful and awesome as that model prayer is, you are an alien, cut off from him.